Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm Alex Myers, and as always, I'm joined by Joel Beal. We have the first World Golf Championship of the year, and that, of course, is the WGC Mexico Championship. This is a relatively unknown entity since this is a course that the players have not played at. There's going to be a lot of talk about the altitude. It's located about a mile and a half above sea level. So actually Mexico City is kind of the mile and a half city, a mile and a half high city. So you're going to hear a lot about that as well. And you're going to hear a lot about how the players don't know the course. So with that, we're going to try to help. But first, let's start. Joel, what did you think about Ricky Fowler last week? Finally, it's been quite a run, let's just say, for big name golfers this year.
It has. This has been everything you could want and more.
Yeah.
It's funny. We mentioned Fowler last week as a guy to win, which we're five weeks.
You did. I was going to give you credit.
Last 5 weeks, we've picked the winner.
That's right.
And granted, they've all been top names, so it's not like we're going on a limb.
Right.
But, no, it was extremely impressive. He played well at the Honda last year, so not totally out of left field. However, as much criticism as he got from Johnny Miller on Sunday, I thought actually it was indicative of his fortitude, because to maintain that when clearly things aren't going well, I think that's actually a really good thing for Fowler. Especially after basically 2 years of struggles at majors, if you're looking for a turnaround, be able to play that well when you clearly don't have your A game. That's something that we've haven't really seen from Fowler throughout his career. So, yeah, it's extremely impressive, and it's funny. This is a year ago we were talking about him being the next big thing. He was one of golf's big four names, and then kind of fell from the spotlight a little bit after some struggles last spring. He's only 28 years old. He's not even hitting his prime yet. So anytime Fowler is firing all cylinders, man, that's golf's just adding another name to that marquee.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Miller got a lot of heat, obviously, for that win is a win comment. And it was a little ridiculous because Fowler began the day with a 4-shot lead. Like you said, he struggled a little with his swing, but he ended up winning by 4 shots. It was a good field. It was a really tough course. So it's just, he's just tough to please.
And it wasn't like he was going high when everyone else was going low.
No.
He still beat the field average Sunday.
Exactly. And, yeah, as our boss Sam Wyman said, you know, Johnny's tough to please. For the miracle on the Hudson, he probably would have said, yeah, Sully saved all those people, but what about the luggage?
Hero lands in Charlotte.
Yeah. Exactly. So tough to please. But, yeah, it's great to see Ricky playing great again. Just a few months ago, he was the really questionable Ryder Cup captain's pick. I think we both agreed he should be on the team, but it definitely was close. It definitely was worth some scrutiny, and now you can't say that again. He's vaulted back into the top 10, and certainly, as you mentioned, he's always in the top 5 of most popular players, so great to see him playing well.
Back in the top 10. Also has a few majors on the schedule, or at least where they're being held at, that really fit his game, most notably Quail Hollow, so... I think Fowler's, we've always been wondering when's this first major going to come. This could be the summer.
It could be. And, you got Fowler winning, you got Dustin Johnson winning, you got Jordan Spieth, you got Hideki Matsuyama, you got Justin Thomas winning 3 times this season. So pretty good start to the year.
We haven't even mentioned Jason Day or Rory McIlroy.
Exactly. But we will mention Rory McIlroy. That would be a perfect segue. Rory McIlroy makes his return this week. He suffered that stress fracture to the rib while playing in South Africa. He still finished second that week, lost in a playoff, so we didn't think it was that big of a deal, but he did announce he was going to be out a few weeks. This was kind of his target date all along. We know he played a week early with President Trump. We know from Tim Rosefort yesterday that he looked great at Seminole in that member guest thing. The fifth major, right. So are you at all concerned about him coming back this week?
No, if anything, that he's coming back, I think it shows he's ready to go. He's at the stage of his career now where really only 4 tournaments matter. Those are the majors. It's this type of year, it's good for the Matsuyamas and Thomases, the guys who still haven't really broke through yet. Rory's, when we look at him, we only judge him by what he does at Augusta, at the Opens, at the PGA. So that he's coming back now, it's plenty of time, plenty of warm-up for the Masters. Like you mentioned, I think when he went out, if there really was a major that next week, I think he probably could have played through it.
Yeah.
So, it's, if anything, good foresight by him. He doesn't want to replicate something that happened a couple of years ago. That he's going this week, I don't think you should have any apprehension putting in your lineup.
Yeah, no, I agree. And obviously, personally, for us, he was our big first-round pick in our fantasy draft. Masters of None, we took him with the 3rd pick. We took him over Dustin Johnson. You hear us talk about it every week. But we did. Finally, he's back. we can hope that he can start chipping into Dustin Johnson's lead on him at least this year in the fantasy points. But certainly, yeah, Rory's back. And he, you know, he hasn't been out that long. He obviously finished off last year on such a great flourish. He won those two playoff events. He won the FedEx Cup. If he wins this week, he can get back to number one. So it's not like he's fallen way off the pack. He's right there.
It's not like he missed six tournaments. He was only scheduled to play one or two tournaments he missed. So,
right, he would have played last week. But
yeah, he's not far behind where he should be at right now.
Right. All right, well, moving on again, a little bit of a unknown here. It's the Club de Golf Chapultepec, something like that. I don't speak
I think that
Spanish.
Was close.
You might know how to pronounce it a little better, Joel. I don't know.
We can
Anyway, it's getting some good reviews from the players, but certainly kind of an unknown. Everybody will get to play four rounds, though. We know this is a non-cut event, so that's good, as they think they have a deal there for the next 7 years or something. So, you know, players will get familiar with this course. Who jumps out at you when making your picks for your lineup this week?
Yeah, my first pick is John Rahm, a name we've heard a few times this season. Since he's won at Torrey Pines, he's actually followed up admirably. He hit a 16th place at Phoenix and a 5th place at Pebble Beach. Making his first start at a WGC event, I really wouldn't read that much too much into it, especially since, as you just mentioned, the entire field seeing this course for the first time. Instead, I think we really should just focus on the fact that he's 3rd in strokes gained and 2nd in strokes gained tee to green. Despite all this success so far, he remains really affordable in daily fantasy leagues, so you definitely have to plug him into your lineup this week.
I'm going to start with... Well, first of all, John Rahm, he's going to have big crowd support in Mexico. Let's just put it that way. I like that pick. He's playing great. I want to start off with two guys who have not won this year, but arguably have played the best of any players who have not won. And I'll start with Gary Woodland. He already has two runner-ups. He's had a T5, a T6. And more interesting, we talk about this altitude. Maybe the closest comparison to this is the Barracuda Championship, which is played near Lake Tahoe. It's at Montreux Golf and Country Club. And Gary Woodland has played in that event twice. Now, that's only about a mile above sea level. Again, this is a mile and a half above sea level. But he's played in that event twice, and he's been a winner and a runner-up. So he obviously can deal with kind of this adjustment a little. Maybe we're reading too much into this, but again, we don't have much else to go on, so.
Also, this will be the first time the Barracuda Championship has been mentioned outside of Barracuda Championship Week.
Exactly. So that's Gary Woodland will be my first pick. Secondly, I'm going with Justin Rose. Obviously, another big name here. It's kind of surprising how little he's won. I know he won the gold medal last year at the Olympics.
Oh, he won the gold medal? I was not aware of
this. He did. He might trot it out again this week, too. We'll see. But he hasn't won on tour since the Zurich Classic in 2015. He only has 7 PGA Tour wins still in his career. And obviously, this is one of the best players out there. So, so far this year, take out a T39 at Pebble. He's gone runner-up, T4, T4. So, this guy who's always seems to be up there. It's a little confusing why he hasn't won more. But again, I just wouldn't see why this wouldn't be another chance for him to get a victory.
Especially after kind of in December, you saw him have some back issues. He's come back really strong
since then.
So
pulled out of the hero.
If anything, I think the fact that he's got a healthy bill should really forecast for a very prosperous summer for Rose.
Okay, so I just took two guys. What back to you?
Well, staying with the England forecast and going Ty Hatton. This time last year, outside the top 100 in world rankings, enters this week number 17 in the world. 3 top fives in his past 4 events, including a T4 last week at Honda. In fact, since winning the Dunhill Links, in the fall, he hasn't finished outside the top 25 in 9 events. So for a shorter guy, he's pretty long off the tee. It's, as you mentioned, the altitude, I think it's going to affect a lot of guys this week. He should benefit from it, and he has a phenomenal short game. The early reports are, I think some people are mislabeling this as a resort course. It's really a parkland course, and a lot of people are saying old school. And basically, it does sound like more so than other weeks, the short game really will come and play. I think that plays into Hatton's advantage.
Hmm. Well, I will say this. You know, we don't like it when fans scream out stuff like mashed potatoes or whatever, but Tyrrell Hatton, I think, you called him Ty, I noticed, so you could just...
You know, me and him are like this.
Right,
so.
You also avoided pronouncing it because I know people mess it up. He's got 2 R's and 2 L's in there. He had hit a tee shot on Sunday at the Honda, and someone screamed out, "A Lannister always pays his debts." Game of Thrones reference there. And I guess because of Ty Tyrion Lannister? There's no...
The spectator spent way too much time thinking of that, and you could almost hear him patting himself on the back and throwing it out there. So
it was more creative, though, than mashed potatoes, though. So
given that, I suppose. I will say Haddon is, if you follow him on Twitter, a really funny and engaging guy. All of these English guys are. I hate to say it, but during the Ryder Cups, I almost root for them instead of the Americans. They're so personal. But yeah, I think Haddon, it's funny. You look at what he's done this year. It really, really mirrors what Danny Willett was doing this time in 2016. Obviously, there, as you mentioned, there's so many big names getting hot going into Augusta, but I think Haddon needs to be on that list of 10, 15 guys you have to really watch out for come April.
That's a great point, because people always forget Danny Willett was ranked, I believe, 12th in the world when he won the Masters.
Yeah, he wasn't a total no-name.
Yeah, and he had it coming off a great year, particularly on the Euro Tour, but it had a couple good finishes on PGA Tour as well and in WGC events. And you're right, Haddon's one of those guys who's, you know, in that range. He's a young guy. The U.S., casual U.S. golf fan doesn't know too much about him, but you're right. We shouldn't be surprised to see him popping up on leaderboards over here. My next guy is a guy who has been all over leaderboards this year, and that's Justin Thomas. Now, obviously, he has cooled off a bit since that dominant back-to-back weeks in Hawaii, but he still has 3 wins on the season. You know, that's, you talk about DJ last year won player of the year. He only won 4 times, and that's a lot. A lot of times the most guy wins is 3. So he's already got his 3 wins, but I do think he's going to bounce back this week. Obviously, there's probably nothing to this, but, you know, the contiguous U.S. is where he does not win. He gets outside of the U.S., albeit, you know, in Malaysia or in Hawaii, out in the islands. Now he's in Mexico. You know, we know he loves the spring break. He loves being down in the tropical temps.
So you say you're not putting him on your Augusta shortlist then?
Oh, good point. Well, we'll see. I want to see him break through first in the contiguous United States. I like saying that word.
I'll say, you're really proud of yourself. You're lit up like a Christmas tree right now.
But also, you know, it's funny. We talk about the altitude, but we kind of got the first taste of how far the golf ball flies in Mexico City. Justin Thomas, on Tuesday afternoon, posted on Instagram a picture from the driving range of his TrackMan stats. And, you know, these guys are really going to be working the TrackMan this week because it can help figure out distances with the altitude, with the winds and all that. Anyway, he hit a drive with a carry of 355.9 yards. Now, that's on a flat driving range, we presume, with minimal wind. So get him on a downhill hole, a little wind at his back. We might see the first 500-yard drive in PGA Tour history this week. Seriously.
Honestly, DJ
really
or Rahm, it could be.
Or Rory. We don't want him to hurt
exactly the rib. Yeah, got to be careful there.
He's going to want to put on a show, though, because I remember when the PGA Tour went to Cherry Hills for the BMW Championship 2014, that's just outside of Denver, Rory was hitting bombs. He was hitting 370-yard three-woods, and, you know, people were going nuts. So it's definitely going to be a little bit of a long drive contest. And the way the course sets up, I just saw there's 6 par fours that are 410 or less, which is kind of surprising because the par fives are all really meaty. But the par fours, there's 6 of them that, I mean, anything within 400 yards has to be drivable
this week.
It should be interesting. It should be fun.
What was the final? 370, you said? The total rollout? 379?
Oh, 380, 388, I think.
Is that like driver
rollout.
7 iron for you?
Driver 7-iron. Oh, yeah, if I'm lucky. Yeah, that'd be a good driver 7-iron for me. Yeah.
Distance is not your forte.
No.
You got a hell of a short game,
it's
but
not,
distance
thank
is
you.
Not your
yeah,
game.
Yeah. Kind of like Luke Donald. Yeah.
boy.
All right, so I gave you Justin JT there with my 3rd pick. Back to you.
Number 3 for me is Hideki Matsuyama, which, you know, I don't know if I even need to justify the pick. Shot 80 last time he saw Riviera, but that was also the bizarre round with a lot of weather issues. There's no cause for concern. He's at 7 official events this year, 2 wins and 2 runners-up. Also, he's moved up to number 4 in the world. It's kind of funny. His sabermetrics actually don't paint him in a favorable light, but I think the aforementioned 80 really did a number on those stats. Mm-hmm. And he also had a few earlier rounds that kind of didn't help the cause either, but despite what the ancillary figures say, Matsuyama's he's on the short list of guys you have to plug in.
Definitely. Week in, week out, tough to argue against him. And a guy who I wouldn't say week in, week out, but it's a guy that I know we both really like, and we kept him on our team. That's Brendan Steele. And, you know, he's turned into one of the more solid players. We're still waiting for him to win again. And he's, if you look, he really is kind of Mr. Thursday, Mr. Friday. He's always up there. Although this past week, he showed us something new. He got off to a brutal start. He made a quintuple bogey on Thursday. It was 7 over through 8 holes. Did not pack it in. Rallied, shot 65 on Friday at PGA National. Made the cut. Actually got up into the top 10 at one point on Sunday. So pretty good bounce back from him. I like the guts that he's been showing.
He's a grinder, and that's kind of the one thing that's unfortunately been the shot of his career, that, as you mentioned, he kind of struggles on the weekend. He's kind of found that other gear. His short game, even though it's still not the best, it's markedly better than it's been in the past.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned with Fowler, I think you can really gain a lot from when things aren't going well, how they really perform going on out. Steele's a guy who, if really the President's Cup had beside it right now, he'd be on the American team. That's how well he's playing this year. As you mentioned, he's still relatively young. He's kind of just hitting his prime. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another W from him this year.
I think he's going to win this year. I really do. I also, going back to this, are we pulling stuff out of thin air this week? Literally, because of the altitude. In 5 career starts at the Barracuda Championship, again, at a high, we're bringing up the Barracuda Championship here. That's how deep we're digging. Brendan Steele has 4 top 10s. So, again, the altitude does not seem to affect this guy. I like him filling out my lineup this
week. Mr. Mile High. That's the voice I said about
Brendan
Steele.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. All right, back to you. Who else you got?
Last guy for me is Adam Scott, who 4 starts this year, hasn't fallen outside the top 15. And you look at his stats, he ranks inside the top 20 in 4 of the 6 strokes gained categories. I actually saw a crazy tidbit earlier today from ESPN's Jason Sobel mentioning, I think since his last win, Adam Scott has 17 finishes inside the top 20. And that's 22 tournaments. So, I mean, that's Dustin Johnson-esque.
Wow, that is.
You know, we referenced last week that Scott's got a handle on his putting in terms of the anchor band adjustment. He was in the middle of the pack last week at Honda, but he still ranked 2nd in total putting, 8th in putting average, and 29th in strokes game putting. So this is a guy who, that was his Achilles heel. Now that he's got it under control, the sky's the limit this year. Throw in the solid track record at other WGC events, I think he earned headline status for me this week.
And, I mean, he is the defending champ.
Technically,
he is. This is the event that moved from Doral, for a variety of reasons. But, Adam Scott is the defending champ. I think we might see a certain someone tweet about this event at some point this week. We'll see. We'll keep lookout for that. But
I don't know. I feel like if he wasn't egged on by the Oscars, I don't know what the tournament moving from his course to Mexico does. You think it might edge?
I think we'll see. Well, we'll be on the lookout. Hopefully that nothing bad happens there that he can point out. That's for sure. Also, I threw out that 2014 BMW Championship before. That was the 3rd event of the FedEx Cup Playoffs that year. If you're wondering why I didn't mention who won that event, because we're talking about altitude, it was Billy Horschel, who actually made a little bit of news this week. He did not qualify for this event, but he said he would have skipped it anyway because of security concerns, which...
I know. I really like Billy Horschel. He's in one of our fantasy leagues.
Yep,
but,
yep.
It felt a little weird to say I didn't make it, but if I wasn't going to go.
Right, so. Because it'd be a lot different if he skipped it and actually passed up a guaranteed big check. Because last place this week is going to make about $50,000 to go down there. And obviously first place makes $1.66 million. So, again, it was interesting he said that, but because he almost qualified with that run at Honda Classic, but he came up a little short.
That's another thing. Horschel's been playing really well
this year. No, he has. It's surprising that a guy like that, he won the FedEx Cup back in 2014, is not even – qualifying for World Golf Championships. Shows you kind of the depth.
Shows you the depth,
out
exactly.
There, for
we're
sure.
We're in a very
lot of volatility
spot right now.
Amongst that top 50. Well, anyway, that will probably wrap it up for us. We wish everyone good luck this week in their picks, as always. And thanks again for listening. Please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done so already. And we will see you next week, hopefully, to pat ourselves on the back for another
maybe
picking
some
another
more
winner.
Barracuda Championship.
That's right. And maybe some more Barracuda Championship. All right. See you next week.